Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 13. Yes, you heard me right. Episode 14. The same season that, as we were just talking before getting on the show, Tamisha Amon was on. I don't know if you remember her, but we loved her all the way back in January.
Wasn't season 12.
It was not season 12. No. But that's okay, because we had our road to the finals kind of tried to make us maybe believe someone was going home, but obviously definitely not the case. And we are here to break it down with our fabulous panel, as we do every week. So first, let me bring in a woman whose voice you just heard. That is Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
Tired. No, I'm good. I'm good. honestly, I didn't hate this last episode. So I was kind of like, it felt like a celebration of the season. That is 15 years long, but I did like it. So I'm doing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really did feel that. I enjoyed this episode. It did feel just fun, light, and yeah. I like the number. So we'll get into all of that, but the panel would not be complete without our fabulous Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I'm good. We're on the home stretch. It's almost over.
We're almost there.
We got the reunion and the finale. It's just 2 more weeks. And I'm excited about the finale. I feel like there's a lot to talk about with these girls. So what we've got coming up, I'm excited for. So yes. Should be a good one.
Me as well. So let's go ahead and just jump on into everything this episode, and we can get into some speculation along the way. So, of course, we have after the elimination of this episode where we kind of get this send off for Olivia, which was also, I think, a great reminder that she had only been doing drag for a year. Mind blown. She's, I could see her back for an all-star season. I think she's got a really bright future ahead of her. And then, of course, we get the reminder of the fabulous line of, I'm a gay ass bitch, I'm Joey J. So that just brings me joy. But I think not a lot to wrap up after last week's episode.
Well, I just started really thinking about this, right? So my friends and I were chatting and we were saying, we all feel like Olivia's a shoe-in for an all-stars, and maybe not the next all-stars, but like, two after this, give her a little bit more time post-COVID to really perform and those kind of things. But who are other queens? If you had to choose two other queens from the season, who's going to be an all-star?
Joey J. I'm telling you, Joey J is like a pheromone kind of, yeah, she's a filler queen because she literally said she's a filler queen. But I just feel like her personality really pops, and I could see them bringing her back potentially.
I feel like this cast is sort of full of them, which I've heard a lot of critique about Drag Race sort of doing that nowadays, giving us queens that they know production is not going to push forward, but that we could potentially fall in love with so that they can bring them back for more seasons, or giving us queens that they know are very, very talented, but then purposefully snubbing them just to bring them back for All Stars. So I feel like this cast is really full of a lot of people that have redemption arcs. I didn't think about Joey J, but that's a good one. Definitely Tamisha Iman. Definitely, I mean, Tina Burner already said it, like, I'll be back. Definitely Olivia Lux. Definitely Denali. She has the perfect redemption story.
I think Denali's my number one choice. I think that Denali, in my opinion, was the one that was purposely snubbed the most by production. Mm-hmm. Like, it was almost, for me, it felt like very purposeful. Like, yeah, we're not going to put you in the top, even though you were clearly the best. Like, I had like that kind of feeling with her. So,
right. So like, I think that I'd probably be most excited to see Denali come back as well. But I think that like the pool is large with this cast, definitely.
And yeah. I think any of the top four who don't win.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Any of those people that would like to come back definitely would get the call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, I think a little bit, you know, Candy is such a big personality, but almost if she went earlier, I could see her coming back. But the fact that maybe she went so deep, they're like a little silky-ish on her. Like, okay, we've had our fill of the candy. You know, I'm done with the sweets. I want something a little bit more salty. But it's definitely a possibility. I mean, you never know, especially with how many all quote-unquote all-star seasons we get. It's anybody's fair game. This season is quite full of talented queens.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Okay, so let's jump into the next day in the workroom. We get a little bit of chit chat about what you would use the money for, which we learn Candy would buy a boat because, you know, she just wants a boat.
Listen, a parking space for a car in Brooklyn is worth like $100,000 a year. Imagine what a parking space for a boat would be in the boatyard in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but if she wins... Also, boats and
the boat itself.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
I'm just saying, bro. Blow it all. Forget the boat. What are you going to do? Keep it in the parking space? Like, are you going to put it in like the harbor? Are you going to keep it upstate? What's going
Maybe
on?
Canoe, not like a yacht.
Oh, I really wish that's what she had like clarified. Could you imagine if she'd been like, yeah, like a canoe? Mm-hmm. I want a kayak.
What about one of those paddle boats that you paddle with your feet?
Okay, so we have a paddle
little
boat.
Dinghy.
You have one?
I have a paddle boat, yeah.
No.
It's fun for about 30 seconds. Yeah. And then you're like, my legs are tired and this isn't moving at all. Like, it's
for the amount of work that you have to do, yeah.
It's not worth it. And if you have somebody else, there's always one person who's putting in all the effort and just the other person's legs get to go because it looks like they're doing it. Yeah. It's a whole drama. Yeah.
I feel that. Puya and I one time did paddle boats when we were in Montreal. And I was the one doing it.
You were like, I'm so working. Puya, definitely.
Right. We're all doing it together. He's like, oh, that wasn't so bad. My legs are dying. Anyway. All right. So I hope Candy, I mean, you know, do I think she's going to win? No. Which will probably save her from investing in a boat. But it would be fun to see Candy on a boat. Very much like I'm on a boat parody moment. But
honestly, that's a WoW Presents series I want to see. Candy on various different boats and being like, girl, this boat is incredible. Like, I just, like, that's what I want. Her in a kayak being like, I'm going to flip over. What is this?
Oh,
like,
no.
So good.
All right. You heard that, World of Wonder. Pick up Beth's idea. It's fabulous. Okay. So the maxi challenge this week. Oh, by the way, yeah, no puppets. So I was a little bit disappointed in that, but fine. I guess I'll survive.
You're going to give us a 17 episode season and not give us puppets? 16, I guess.
So. Choices. The maxi challenge this week is going to be, of course, performing one of Rue's songs. And it's Rue's new song called Lucky. And of course, they have to write an original verse and then work with Jamal Sims for the choreo. And then I didn't realize that What's the Tea wasn't going on anymore. I should have realized that when my podcast feed stopped updating. But instead, we get them as a guest on Inside Drag Race, which is essentially
that what it's called now.
What's the Tea? Do they have a podcast called Inside Drag? No, they just stopped doing the podcast, right?
Okay.
I think they stopped doing the podcast because of COVID. Because it, like, if you look at the last episode, it's like March 25th, 2020. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the times their guests were people who were on Drag Race as like the guest judges. Yeah. So I don't know if they just were like, you know what, this is too much work and other things. So
yeah, Rue couldn't figure out how to call in for the recording.
I mean, with all of the other franchises that they got going on, you know, in the UK and now in Australia, like screw the podcast.
Busy. Yeah.
Yeah. Spain coming up. Jeez.
I know. What? Oh, gosh. whatever. Anyway,
the international one.
Like, oh my God. International.
I'm so excited for that one, though.
I'm here for it. Oh.
Yeah, that one I'm so excited for. I'm be excited. Whatever. Anyway, all right. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the Lucky verse, which, I guess we can just, you know, we get a little bit of workroom stuff. Like, we learn that Rosé became a self-employed social media rap star during the pandemic, which was a fun thing to learn. And really, then we just jump on into Inside Drag Race. And I felt like this set of four interviews, more than anything, told me so much about how Rue and Michelle feel about these queens. Because to me, Amon, the warmth in the room for Gottmik versus, say, Rosé felt very, very, very different to me.
Yeah, so I was really of the mindset that it was going to be between Simone and Rosé, because in my mind, like, comp wins are the lifeblood of Drag Race. And not, we've seen, definitely had exceptions to the rule where that doesn't necessarily happen all the time. But I mean, we always say, like, if you can make Rue laugh, then that's it. And why? I mean, of course that pertains to Snatch Game, but why can't that pertain to the entire competition? Mm-hmm. It's probably what made Candy get to the end as well. So yeah, it's looking like Gottmik has this tied up in a bow now. I think she's going to win based off of her interview alone. I mean, RuPaul was cracking up. Like, cracking up. It's to the point now where I'm like, because at first I was like, RuPaul just laughs at anything, but now I'm jealous. I'm like, I want to laugh like this all the time. Like, I need to just start looking at the shit that you're laughing at and seeing what's funny about it so that I can laugh too. Because there was some stuff that Gottmik was saying was funny, but not that funny. I was like, damn. Mm-hmm. And so he's just so enamored by her. And he was very honest about that. Like, I'm so charmed by you. I'm so interested in your story. Like, I feel like he asked the most questions about her based off of the things that he learned about her through her casting process, than maybe more so than the other queens. And so, yeah, it just felt like he just was the most excited to talk to her out of anybody else. And he loves her fashion. He loves her sense of humor. He loves her story. And, you know, some people are skeptical and they might say that this is just like a rebranding moment because Rue has come into some hot water with his comments towards the strand community. But I think that he is genuinely into this girl. Like, and that's just how it is.
RuPaul is not a good actor. I've put it out there.
Right.
I honestly don't think he's a good actor. I've watched some of the stuff he's acting in and I'm like, bless. But I do think that you're 100% right here. I think that you can almost see the warmth. This was like a capstone of what the editing has been telling us the entire season, right? It's not like the editing hasn't shown Rosé, but it certainly hasn't shown a lot of love. Like, there's not like this feeling of like the judges are supporting Rosé. Like, there hasn't been a moment where RuPaul has been like, you are a star. You're like, what you're doing out here is brave. Like, he's never had like a moment where he's like, just to Rosé has been like, showing this warmth and love. And to your point, kiddo,
he's never said that to her.
No. And he said it multiple times to Simone. He said it to Gottmik, and and he said it to Candy too. And that's why, like, going into this finale, like, I actually don't think Rosé stands a chance. Period. I love Rosé. I think that she's done a wonderful job, but there's something missing, and I don't know how much of it is production and how much of it is just maybe something that Rosé wasn't bringing.
I think it's both. I mean, we talked about it last time. Like, Rosé was even honest. She said, like, look, I didn't really feel that comfortable to come out of my shell quite yet in the beginning of this. And now that I've sort of reached a point where I'm like, fuck it. Like, I feel so much better now. We saw that evolution, and I don't necessarily know if that's like enough for her to not be a contender. I think that she certainly still is, but it's just hard to sit here and watch RuPaul shower the rest of them in compliments. But then when it's to Rosé, it's like, you are such a professional. You know what you're doing. And are there any other questions that you have for us? Whereas with Gottmik, it's like, I'm so charmed by you. So tell me a little bit more about, like, your name. tell me about your transition. When was that? All of this stuff that he wants to know. And with Gottmik, it's like, it was like it was an interview, like a job interview, as opposed to like really getting down and dirty with somebody. And it's hard for me, after watching that, it's hard for me to think that the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race season 13, Rosette. No, it's not happening. It's just not happening.
I think for me, it was the stark contrast between the Gottmik and Rosé interviews that were just, it was just so blindingly evident. I mean, I co-sign everything you guys are saying. And the thing with Rosé, like, well, thank you for risking your life and thank you for participating.
Mm-hmm. maybe she said that to everybody else. Maybe she did, but why was it that we got to see it with Rosé and no one else? You know what I mean? It's just...
You know what? I will say this. I kind of identify with Rosé, which is that I really think Rosé is probably a big goofball and a weirdo and those lovely things that we love about all these other queens, right? Mm-hmm. But when put in front of the camera, when put in front of people that you're trying to impress, you really put on this like kind of subdued personality and a more professional side comes out, right? So, which is why RuPaul says, you know, you are a professional, which is not an insult or anything, obviously, but it's not the same as like wanting to get to know somebody. And I really feel like that. I feel like that is me to a T as well. So like, I can kind of understand why Rosé may not be a contender. Because if she's been hiding until the very end of this competition, this idea of like who she truly is, like this kind of goofball thing. And even when she's acting and being funny and such, you can tell that it's more that she's tapping into like what she's used to doing rather than like really putting it all out there. And I think that that's the biggest difference between her and someone like Gottmik, who's like, I'm trying everything. And it's a really great opportunity for me to expand myself and like, blah, blah, blah. And it's a little different. So I think that I can understand, at least from RuPaul's perspective, why maybe Rosé isn't maybe his contender for this.
And I sympathize with that too, because I think that I know that I'm a bit of a goofball, but sometimes when I'm in situations where I have to like introduce myself to an entirely new crowd that doesn't know me that way, I get very like prim, proper, all that stuff. Yep. And then some time goes by and people are like, oh my God, Amon, like you're so like, where was this? And I was like, I'm sorry. I had to get warmed up, baby. Like I had to get hot and ready, like Little Caesar's pizza. So I get it. So it does make me feel a little sad, because it's like, so you mean to tell me that the seasoned professionals can't ever have a chance on Drag Race? Cause I don't think that that's necessarily true either. I just think that when it comes to Drag Race, you have to, like, the charisma, you have to have it. And if you are lacking it, towards the end, it's kind of going to be hard for you to be a top contender for that crown. But there are still other people that have gotten really close to the end. And even one, in my opinion, that don't really have charisma, like Aquaria is one of the most stale winners for me in terms of charisma. I don't know how she got.
Thank you for saying that. Oh like, my God, I so identify with that statement.
I don't care about Aquaria. Like, I don't follow her. I don't, like, she's beautiful and everything. I'm sure she can serve a look, but, like, in terms of everything else,
I will say this. Her Twitter is hysterical. And, like, I'm like, where was this on Drag Race?
Yeah, maybe she's another one of those people that, you know, it just kind of goes over your head.
I mean, I know this is an older season, but Tyra. charisma with Tyra.
Yeah. Well, she just slept through it. It's fine. So for me, it's not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's charisma. I think it's uniqueness. I think that's what is maybe missed, or what they feel is missing from Rosé. Because when you have someone who's so well-trained and so professional, you know what you're going to get with them. They are this consummate professional. They're going to deliver. They're going to be able to do that. And that almost takes away some of the mystique, some of the uniqueness. That's not inherently a bad thing. No. But I think when it comes to picking a Drag Race winner, they want to be surprised. And when Rosé walks around the corner of the runway, if there's ruffles on it, like, of course there's going to be ruffles on it. You know what I mean? And I feel like that unique. Of course, her finale look was this Scottish tartan dress. Not that it's not gorgeous. Not that she doesn't look amazing. Not that the hair is not the perfect color. But... You know,
also you should already wore something that was like that aesthetic earlier in the season, right? So it's there's so many things that I agree with that. There's somebody put out tweeted, and I think I talked about this last week, so I apologize if I did. But somebody tweeted out, I think it was Lonnie Love tweeted out a picture that had charisma, uniqueness, nerve, talent, and charisma had Simone, uniqueness had Gottmik, nerve had Candy, talent had Rosé. And I was like, honestly, yeah.
Right. That's
and
it.
And
yeah.
That made me really think about, yeah, we say that it's about those four aspects, but are some weighed more heavily than others? Like, I really think that charisma and uniqueness are weighed more heavily than nerve and talent are in this competition.
I think that I think they're all inherently talented. So by default, the talent one is kind of like, well, bitch, you should be doing this anyway. You know what I mean? Like, right. I feel like in a lot of ways they're punished severely, more severely for not being talented. Like, if you can't get a step right, or if you just couldn't do the comedy, or if you couldn't act, bye. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think you've made me come around on that, Liana, because I think it is the uniqueness. I think that she's obviously talented, knows how to act, knows how to sing, but so many of the other girls do. And also the fact that we learned that she is kind of new to drag herself. Like, she's a little older than some of the other people, but she's still young in her drag, and maybe, and the fact that she hopped, I don't know how soon she started doing drag and how soon that, like, she hopped in with Jan and everything, but maybe, like, being a part of a drag house so quickly and being a part of, like, a girl group where you sort of have to, like, be one image, maybe that sort of has stopped her from really being just Rosé. And I'm sure that there is just a Rosé. Like, she's not, like, I don't look at Rosé and immediately think Jan. I don't think that.
No.
They're clearly two different people. But I do wonder, like, if she had more time as a drag performer to really understand what it was that she wanted to do with her craft, as opposed to being a Broadway person and then getting into drag, how much further along in her process would she be, and how much more would we really see with her? You know what I mean? So
that to me is the point, is that her background is musical theater, it's performing, it's singing, and all those different kinds of things. And then drag was a way to continue that. It's not the other way around, where drag was her thing and musical theater was a way for her to explore drag further. It's the other way around. And I think that that is probably what we're seeing the most in this competition, and what RuPaul and the other judges are also seeing too.
I think just to go back to the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent thing, is that they wouldn't be in the final four if they weren't talented. So that check, that is already checked, that box. So then it's about the other parts that then I think make the winner ultimately. Which, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about, you know, the other queens in the competition, like Gottmik and Simone. When I felt like Rue was talking to them, it really was about getting to know their personality and who they are, and not even so much about their drag, but it was about tapping into, you know, even though with Simone, it was your inner saboteur, but it was still about Simone. And it just felt so much more intimate and so much more, I want to get to know you as a representative. What would you bring if I were to give you the crown here? And so when it was, I think it was all the way in the judging, when Michelle was like, oh, it's such a close race. Oh, okay, a close race between Gottmik and Simone. Because to me, like, the other two were a little bit out of it.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. I what I did think was interesting about this was RuPaul asking Candy, are you surprised that you're here? And he said it with such a tone that was like, now, girl, you got saved a couple times now. Like, are you surprised that you're here? And I was kind of shocked that he like admitted it, because to me, it's like RuPaul never usually addresses like the riggery of it all. And a lot of people would consider this riggery for Candy. And so he's like, are you surprised? But I loved her response when she was like, no,
because I earned my place in the top four.
I earned my place here. So no, I could sit here and be all politically correct and be like, you know, No, I'm here. And I love that, because I think that Candy knows that she's a personality. And if there's one thing that she can always fall back on, it's the personality. And I think that personality is a great thing to always have to fall back on, as opposed to looks, or both, like, on your face and what you, your fashion wise. Like, I'd much rather have someone that is compelling to listen to rather than just someone who's pretty to look at. So I think that she wrote her personality to the end of this competition, and not everybody can do that. So
right.
It is what it is.
Because even though Candy got saved, she got saved for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, like there was something about her that made like, Rue want to
save her. It wouldn't have been any other person.
Even a little bit of maybe we may feel the riggery, but still it was earned in the sense that RuPaul was willing to do this to make, you know, give Candy the second opportunity to be able to make it to the final. So
it's like Vanjie. Like Vanjie definitely got saved throughout the And if there was still a double Shantae, like if Brooklyn and Evie hadn't gobbled up that double Shantae and Vanjie was still around, maybe Vanjie would have been the one to get double Shantae'd. But she definitely was spared some of those runways because some of those runways were just the same thing over and over again. So I think
bodysuit, show your waist.
And that's the problem with season 11, though, for me, is that it wasn't just Vanjie, it was also Silky. So you had two people who made it to the top five who were just like perpetually being saved for absolutely no reason other than their personality and what they're bringing from a reality production show perspective, in my opinion, which to me, undermines, I've said this time and time again with Candy, this undermines their talent. So when we talk about the top four and we're saying they're talented, which clearly they are, I think some of that gets snubbed for Candy because I think a lot of people are like, well, she's not as talented as the other people. She wrote her personality to the end. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why I'm the most upset about Candy's run is that she's clearly somebody who has a great personality, who's gone through a lot in her life, has overcome a lot, who wears her emotions on her sleeve and is a very captivating person to watch. But where's the talent in the talent competition? Like, that's unfortunately the question that gets asked with her. So when we say, oh, yeah, the four, clearly they all have talent. I do think that people are probably saying, where's Candy's? And I think that that's unfair to her.
Mm-hmm. Her talent should be standing around like a sim because I feel like she's really, really good at that. When I was watching some of the lip syncs because I just had YouTube on autoplay, it was during the 100% Pure Love lip sync with Denali and Kimora, and she's standing there with her arms out like at a weird angle, and she's just like. Like with her mouth open. It's so funny. If you want to go back, she's right next to the stage on the right hand side. If you're looking at the stage. Anyway, hilarious.
I'll have to check that out.
Is she a sim or is she a Barbie?
Oh, maybe. But I feel like not all the time. Like when she came out to do her lip sync and she had the boom box and she was just standing there. I get very big sim vibes from her.
And I do need to say this again. Just going back to the first episode, I still don't think she won that initial lip sync.
Thank you, Beth, for really making sure that I need you all to know.
I stand honestly, by I don't it. Have an opinion about it now because I don't even remember it. It's been so long.
Yeah, same.
Poor Candy.
Four scoring 7 months ago. Okay. What else are we talking about? Okay, Simone. Is there anything you guys want to talk about with Simone's interview? I felt like Rue had a little bit more of a connection with Gottmik, although I also, with the Gottmik interview, felt like I was the only sober person in the room. Everybody just laughing, and I don't really know why. But with the Simone interview, it still felt, I felt more warmth there with Rue. Although there was a little bit of like your inner saboteur, why are you shy?
Right.
Which, okay, I'm sorry. When is being shy a punishment?
But yeah. You know. So this to me is what really, because she went last, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's after Simone's. I was like, okay, I think Gottmik won this competition because I think this is supposed to be a prep for Simone being just like her sister Gigi and getting all the way with four wins. And then not getting the crown because
The four win curse.
Because it's really looking to me like the arc of it all is just so much more in Gottmik's favor. Mm-hmm. And yes, we would love to see Simone win, but that interview to me felt really like, do you know where your shyness comes from? Are you like, it felt like a lot of like life advice and things that she should work on. And I think that Simone has learned a lot about herself throughout this comp. So I think that the real, and I know that this sounds kind of cheesy, but the only way that I can describe it is that the real win for Simone was being able to love herself a little bit more throughout this competition and really being able to feel, it's not only say that, but feel that and just being okay with like, look, like if I don't win, like if I don't have to put so much pressure on myself to do this, like I'm here and I'm fierce. Like I know the judges already think this about me. So why am I getting in my own way? And if she's able to come out of this competition knowing that, I think that might be her story. And I think Gottmik is going to take it. Because to me, Gottmik was more about like, it felt like she'd already learned a lot of those life messages that RuPaul finds important. And RuPaul was congratulating her and already coming into the competition, charming her with that. That's what it felt like. Because it was literally, she told Gottmik, you are someone that is just so free and it's captivating to watch. Whereas with Simone, it was like, you are getting in your head. You are great. You've got the stuff. You just need to get out of your way. Those are two different...
Yeah, and there's definitely the difference in it also with the momentum, right? Whereas Simone came in and they said, you're a star, we're obsessed with you. And then I kind of feel like that faltered a little bit throughout the competition because, of course, she's a normal human, isn't perfect, okay? Whereas Gottmik came in, and although she did win her first lip sync, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, wow, amazing, and then kind of grew throughout the competition. And so the difference in the energy is a momentum going into the finale, I think, also makes a difference. That being said, it's, we think, a semi-live/live-to-tape finale from what we are getting from the streets. And so, that being said, that probably means that it's a lip sync for the crown, which...
Oh, I forgot about that.
You never know. You never know.
So, I literally did get faked out, and I'm embarrassed to admit
sweet
it.
Sweet.
I hide behind my fan. I got faked out when he started telling the girls that they were going to lip sync one at a time. Because I was like, wow, maybe this will replace the lip sync thing in the finale because they don't know what they're going to do because of COVID. So what if this is a traditional top three? So we go back to, you know, season 8 and prior, and we have a top three based off of people's individual lip sync ability. And I got nervous for Gottmik because I knew that she didn't have the strongest, even though she did win that initial lip sync. And then I got thinking, I was like, you know what? Maybe this is where we do say goodbye to Candy. She got to top four and she gets cut. So I got faked out there and I immediately felt like an idiot.
Entirely possible they filmed multiple endings with each of them getting cut. That's entirely possible because I could see them filming it and then not knowing what the finale was going to be like, thinking like, well, if things are bad again, then we'll just do what we did last with season 12. So, I mean, that's entirely possible. But now that things
they film multiple endings for season 9, and so like people didn't know that it was a final four until it aired? Because I have a feeling that I remember that either Peppermint or somebody else went home as alternate endings to that last episode, and then it was like, wow, it is a top four. And
yeah, I mean, they have a tendency to do that where they will film multiple endings, but that's usually when they know that someone, so like for All Stars, for example, they'll film all the endings and then reveal the actual winner. But yeah, we're starting to see that, I think, a little bit more. So I know for the top five for season 11, maybe, I think they filmed like all the top five eliminations as well. So
yes, they did. I remember that. And that they didn't know who went home, if it was going to be Vanji or Silky. I think for the most part, people knew that it was going to be a Vanji or Silky
elimination. Yeah. So anyway, who knows? It's entirely possible. But I felt like the edit of this episode was trying to tell such a clear story, which is what Aman, I think, was getting at with the whole concept of where Gottmik stands in the competition, where Rosé stands in the competition. So then it's going to be interesting to go from something that I think is telling a very specific narrative to a potentially live finale that is, Lord knows what could happen. But so, we saw with season 9, and who knows?
I just sleuthed a little bit more online, and there's a picture of the United Artists Theater. Is that in L.A.? I'm not sure where that is. But there is United Artists is just a brand. Well, there is a United Artists Theater somewhere that has RuPaul's Drag Race Grand Finale on the up on the marquee. And that's what is this is coming from the Drag Galore Instagram account. And Drag Galore is that YouTube account that usually has accurate elimination order and spoilers way into the preseason. So I think that's where a lot of the buzz is coming from, because this marquee wasn't there until recently. So they're like, well, if it's so close to the finale, then maybe it's just going to be live. So still no real word on it yet, but it's looking like if it's not live, it's close to it. Like, they haven't filmed it yet. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah, come on, Nancy Drew.
We'll see what happens.
I'm so excited. Okay. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about from the Inside the Drag Race interviews? I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we have a few more things to talk about before we get to the performance. The rehearsal, Jamal Sims is back. Love that for them. Love that for me. And we get, you know, my favorite part was Gottmik doing the awkward twerking thing. So that was a true blessing.
I called that turning into a hunchback. That was not twerking. That was just a hunchback.
Little cat and cow action, but standing.
Yeah. I just love how obsessed with Jamal she is. She's like, with Jamal's help, I can do anything.
Can I just be honest here? Jamal Sims goes, I'm going to push you guys like you wouldn't believe. And then, like, it was literally like 1, 2, 3, 4.
It was very
6, 7, 8, and 1, and 2, and 3. I was like, come on.
It was very simple choreo.
Push you guys. My favorite part was, like, after all of that, like, how simple it was, he goes, Gottmik, I can tell you're not a counter, so I'm just going to have you listen to the lyrics. And I was like, honestly, if she can read through the lines, that is shade. I love that Jamal was breaking it down for her in that way. I mean, like, listen to the lyrics and do these moves with the lyrics. But I'm also sitting there being like, girl, these are not, it's not like Katya and, you know, Riki Rochu and go up, like, come on.
I think she enjoyed it, though. I think that he, like, took the feedback that she gave to him at the when they did that earlier one, where, and she was like, I love the way that Jamal teaches, because he breaks it down in a way that you're able to understand. So, hey, I mean, look, if these queens feel the most comfortable with him and are able to, like, learn their dance moves better through him, then I'm all for Jamal taking a couple more slots from Todrick. I'm just saying.
I love Jamal.
100% agree. I just want a good final product, whatever that means. So give me it. Okay. Then last thing, we get the last workroom segment where we learn that Gottmik wants 75 more episodes. Yeah, because you're killing the competition. Of course he wants 75 more episodes. She feels like the kid at camp that doesn't want to leave. No, don't make me go back home. I love all my camp friends.
Yep. Yep. Like, I don't think that some of these other queens, well, now we know some of these other queens were ready to go. So
yeah, Candy's out of drags. Like her, apparently the runway look was supposed to be her sheer look, but she had to use, like, her look, her train look didn't work because there was too much train or something. And so she had to, anyway, so it was like a whole kerfuffle, because that explains why this was, you know, best drag. But yes, very much that. Okay.
Can I just, absolute side note about Candy that happens in the very, very, very beginning of this episode and also happened at the very beginning of last episode that I'm triggered by and I need to discuss. Candy, why, for the love of God, are you using duct tape to remove your glitter from your eyelid when you're de-dragging?
I've seen that technique before, though.
This is the most sensitive skin on your face. It can easily tear and rip, and you're using duct tape? Use invisible tape. Use masking tape. Don't use something that is so harsh with adhesive on your eyes. There's so many other things.
She's got so much product on there, it doesn't even make it to the skin.
She says she got a thick skin, so
it do take nerve.
You know what? That's where the nerve came in. Was just she had the nerve to use duct tape. Every single episode, I've been yelling at the television and being like, "Stop doing that to your eyelid! You're going to, like, rip your eyelid skin off. It's going to be awful."
Come on, dermatology. All right. Thank you, Beth, for sharing. Sorry, that was I appreciate important. That. But at least she's not just another uncooked, pretty uncooked chicken. They called Rosé, which again goes back to the whole Rosé edit of you're perfectionist. You're an uncooked chicken. You get a participation trophy.
Pretty, but uncooked.
Pretty, but uncooked. And then, you know, I think one thing that was really heartwarming, which also added to the whole Gottmik's going to win narrative, if we're going based on that, was Gottmik, you know, talking about representing her community. And the best way to represent your community is just to be yourself. And I love, 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 loved that. I don't care how cliche and stupid it is. I love it. And I think it's true.
I also think that what I appreciate the most, both through the editing and through Gottmik and the way that the judges are treating her and such, it's not about her identity. It's about her talent. It's about what she's bringing to the competition. And her identity is something that she shares, but it's definitely not tokenism that's coming across. It's not, look at this trans man who does drag. Like, ooh, it's not about that. It's truly about what is Gottmik bringing to the competition. And this is a wonderful side conversation we get to have about representation and, you know, validating that all drag, regardless of your personal identity, is valid. And that's what I love about this, is that it doesn't come out as like a, look at, we put a trans man on our show. Like, I was really, really worried about that all season. Mm-hmm. And I really haven't gotten that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's jump in to the final performance of the song Lucky. Okay, so Aman, overall, what did you think about the song, the performance? Give me your thoughts.
I was into it. I love the high energiness of it. I'm a big pop boy. I feel like I'm a pop star in another life. So I'm all for a music pop video. I think Gottmik really turned it out. I mm-hmm. thought that she, I mean, we know that she's not much of a dancer, but what she did do was very, I was excited to watch her. I think she looked good. I thought her verse was good. It was great. I was very pleased with Gottmik's performance. I felt like Candy, I loved Candy's lyrics. I felt like she just needed just a little bit more like punch to some of her moves. I just felt like there wasn't enough hit, pop, pop, pop. It all felt a little bit loose to me. Rosé, of course, she looked the best while dancing. She had the best verse. She rapped and she sung. So we knew Rosé was going to kill it. This was just hers to kill. And Simone definitely was Simone. She gave us Simone. Like, it was a very, it was definitely, I like that, Michelle sort of like tracked her performances from the other musical performances up until now. And I definitely think that she has way improved from those other ones. And I was pleased with all four of them. But I think that Gottmik and Rosé really took this one for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, Beth, I would say that overall, I thought this was pretty strong. Although if I had to pick my favorite, I think I would also probably go with Gottmik here.
Gottmik was, in my opinion, far and away the best one. And it had to do with just the commitment all the way around. So the lyrics were on fire. They were sentimental. They told a story. They were fierce. They were, I'm the best, but also like, look at what we're doing. Like, this is amazing. And then on top of it, her singing, her dancing and everything, like, it just, there was an energy to her that in her performance that was just like, she was the first one. And I was like, well, good luck matching that. Like, clearly. And then Rosé, I thought, did a really great job. But like the narrative that we're saying, like, it was not unexpected. There was nothing about that. Even her rap, I was just like, oh, cool, she can rap too. Like, I wasn't like as captivated, which is unfortunate for me to say, because clearly she killed it. But there was still that lack of her pushing through something else. It just still was like relying on just pure professional talent. And I wanted a little bit more pure her. I don't know how else to say that in there. I really felt like Candy was a little sloppy. Like it was, the movement was just a little off for me. The If you're not watching the video, which you should, we just had a wonderful little guest join us on Liana's camera. So that's okay.
Why I am just lay down. It's my cat. Just sleep.
Oh, she's cute. But I just generally felt like I think this is Candy's best performance in like a musical kind of challenge that we've seen all season. But to me, it wasn't just strong enough to like be a standout. And honestly, I felt like Simone really lacked in energy. Like there was something about her that was holding her back. Like, especially after that conversation with RuPaul and Michelle to have this like, yeah, I'm going to go out and kill it. And then I just generally felt like there was nobody matched what Gottmik was bringing, that extra like spice or something. And I just think that this whole episode set up a Gottmik win. For me,
I think there was something about the energy that Gottmik brought that was really good. Also, I could understand everything that she was saying.
It was so well enunciated. Yes. And like not in an annoying kind of way. Like it was just like it was really well done.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I will deduct points for mentioning Bring Me My Crown or some type of crown me, because I think all but maybe Rosé mentioned it. So, after Shea Coulee, Come on, Mamaru, bring the queen her crown, it's done. Like, no one else should reference being brought a crown. Also, it's a curse because, you know, shit. So, anyway, that's what I will say. I felt like the music in general is a little bit more... American or Kitty Girl versus Read You Wrote You category is, there's a sort of tonal difference between the two where one is more, let's all come together, we're all American, we're all lucky, bop, beep, bing, bop, boom. Whereas Read You Wrote You is like, girl, like,
Yeah, this wasn't a bitch track.
No, it wasn't.
This was definitely giving you more like, it's giving you more happy-go-lucky,
yes.
Like maybe like a little bit of like beginning of what's it called? Fifth Harmony's career versus like a WAP moment from Megan Thee Stallion. And I see what you mean. Yeah.
And because of that, I think Gottmik's verse did even better because her verse was about love. It was about, oh, I'm so happy. Whereas when the other queens were like, oh, well, let me do a little bit more diss tracky for this song. No, for a song like category is, then yeah, maybe it's more about like, yeah, I'm that bitch. Whereas for this, because it was that happy-go-lucky vibe to it, that's why another reason why I felt Gottmik just worked so well, because it wasn't so much like, fuck you, I'm that bitch. It was more, you know, love, you know,
right.
So, you know, that being said, the song is definitely an earworm. Busty on fire, here for it. So,
I would like to get points from all of them for not mentioning Britney Spears.
I saw Bob tweet about that, and I had a similar thought. I was like, "Well, you would have thought that there would have been, because the minute you hear the word lucky, you're like, oh, she's so lucky. Mm-hmm.
She's a star." And that's the thing, like my little 9-year-old self came out of my shell and was like, "Yes." She's but like, all of my friends and I who were watching it together, like looked around at each other and were like, literally, no one said Britney Spears.
One.
No one made a Free Britney reference. I'm sorry. Am I in the gay community or not? Because I'm missing something.
Uncultured swine.
Oh my gosh. The Mariah Carey Lamb thing all over again.
Sorry.
Yeah. There were also a few little issues with the lighting. I feel like Rosé got a little shafted in her part with the lighting. There was something off about it. And then when they had the group part, that also felt poorly lit. But I mean, you know, that's minor. Overall, I had a great time. I have listened to it several times. It's a bop. Yeah, Beth.
I want to say too that I loved the costuming for it. I loved that they were all like basically in like little lingerie outfits with, you know, the little straps on, you know.
It was giving you like Say My Name music video with all of the four different colored rooms. Yeah.
And it felt very cohesive. Yeah. You know, where we've had performances in the past that haven't really felt like one solid unit together, whereas this felt so cohesive, felt like a music video, to be honest, yeah. Like Aman was saying. And so this episode was really, really fun, and it really did feel like a celebration. I think it produced a bop, and I don't think that any of the queens, even though we may be nitpicking here and there, I don't think any of them, you know, did poorly. I think they all did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Okay, let's get into the runway looks from this week. So the runway category was best drag,
Eleganza extravaganza.
I don't know. It's a mouthful. Okay, sorry. I just had a random thought. Okay, so the treatment of Rosé, this is completely tangential, but goes back to what we were talking about before. The treatment of Rosé is very much like in Arrested Development when Lucille's like, I love all my children equally. I don't care for Job. It's very much like, I love all my finalists equally. I don't care for Rosé. Okay, sorry. That just popped in my head.
Also,
I don't know why.
R.I.P. Jessica Walter.
I know. Oh my God. I was heartbroken. Whatever. It's fine. Life goes on. Okay. Gottmik. So Gottmik comes out in, 101,000 Dalmatians here, but has the added element of the nude cutouts as well as the nude makeup, Beth, which I think really just adds a fun little touch to this look.
Yeah, it was really fun. And what I loved the most, too, is that the one eye that is also not black and white is all rainbow. And I just loved that. And so there was a part of me that was like, I loved it there, but I wish there could have been like some continuation if you were going to do it that way of maybe there's like little rainbow spots in some of the areas as well. But I loved this outfit. I thought this was really fun. It was really cute. It gave me both Cruella and the poodle. Mm. And Dalmatian. Is there a Dalmatian poodle mix? There's got to be, right? What is it called? Like a
doodle? A doodle. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
A deludel.
A deludel. Doodle sounds right.
There is a doodle, but I don't know if it's a Dalmatian poodle.
Okay.
I'm not a dog person, so I don't know. But she gave me like all these different elements, but also it's what we expect from Gottmik. This is fashion. This isn't just drag. She manages to mix both together. This is a silhouette we're not used to seeing with Gottmik. And so it was really fun to see this shape and all this fun stuff come out with her. I just loved it. I especially love the black circle that comes off of the black lips. Like it's just so artfully done. And I just sat there and I was like, how does she get that to be a perfect circle? Like, how did she do a perfect circle? I want to
know. Yeah, I can't draw a perfect circle on a piece of paper, let alone my face. So right? I don't know how this is happening.
Maybe she's got cutouts. She just holds it over and then.
Oh, yeah, true. True. Yeah.
But even then, like.
I know. It's amazing.
So I enjoyed this too. It's very dramatic and it's very poppy and fun. But I have to say that I feel like I've been a little disappointed with some of these last runway looks over the past couple of seasons, because I just feel like I'm always expecting just like, I want you to walk out and come around that corner and just like I'm looking for a phoenix rises from the ashes kind of moment. And I feel like this is a great look and it's representative of who she is, but I feel like it just needs some glitz. It needs some like, it needs some pop to it. Like if there's going to be like some shiny trimming around all of the edges, add some glitter to the hair, maybe some jewels around down your arms. Give me like Cruella De Vil minus the red. Just give me just nothing but Dalmatian. I want more spots on your arms. Like I just need like, I need for it to be, you drag it out. You are drag queen. Go over the top. And I felt like this was just not all the way there for me, but the look is good. And in comparison with some of the other looks on the stage, definitely a better one. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. So first quick dog check-in. A doodle is anything that's mixed with a poodle. Okay. So like a labradoodle, whatever. Okay. A Dalmatian poodle mix is called a dalmadoodle, which is a mouthful. So it falls under the doodle family, but it's a dalmadoodle.
Dalmadoodle. I think I like the loodle better.
I know, right? That has been your dog breed education for today. So to go back to Gottmik, I 100% echo what Aman is saying. If she walked around the corner on a spots-themed runway look, I would be, yes, mama, gag, top look. Love this. For the finale look, I have a different set of expectations. I expect you to come out in a gown like the Vivian. I expect you to come out looking like Simone, like, because I really vibed with Simone's look. I feel like she was the only one who I thought really like truly executed the finale look, but even then it could have been stepped up a bit. So yes, I think this is absolutely fantastic, and I actually feel bad criticizing it because I really do like it. I think it's quirky. I think it's fun. But when we talk about the finale look, I have, girl, to the moon expectations, okay? Put me on Apollo 11 because I'm all the way up there, and it's not their fault. It's just, it's the group finale.
Give me a faux fur coat on top that you drop. Yes.
That would have been sick. Okay, so like you guys have totally touched on, I knew that there was something. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get on a podcast and be like, there's something missing here, and then like not be able to explain it. But you guys have perfectly explained like how I've been feeling, which is, I think this is a great look. But if I were to look at this look and say, is this the best drag category? I don't know if I would. Right. So I think that exactly what you're saying, I love the little nude spot moments, but like I said before, with like the rainbow, maybe that's a place where you could put like little sequins, or maybe you could do something that's a little flashier there. Like have that coat that, like the fur coat that you're talking about. Like that.
If there are any drag queens that are going to be on Drag Race that listen to this podcast, because I know that there are a few of them out there. I know that there are drag queens for sure that listen to us. So if you are also within the Venn diagram of auditioning for Drag Race, whatever you have planned for your best drag look, go bigger. Like keep that, but then do more. And then we'll have some good shit to talk about. Like I'm not a fashion queen. I don't know what it's like, so I'm not about to sit here and act like I'm an expert or whatever. But I always say, go big or go home. So whatever you have planned for your last look on Drag Race, you made it all the way to the end to talk your shit, go bigger. You want more.
Also, I'm a very trusted person, so if you need to like run your idea by me, like I'll give you feedback from a non-professional, you know, girl who just watches from home and then podcasts about it perspective.
And she's really into voguing right now.
I'm really into voguing right now.
Okay, let's talk about Ms. Candy Muse, who, like I said earlier, this is apparently supposed to be her sheer runway. And then, you know, the whatever, yada, yada, yada. So here she is.
Oh, yeah. So I looked that up, and I guess like what she had planned was like nothing at all. Like she had like stockings on and then like just a thin line across her boobs, and then like had to like cover her cooch, and I'm like, that's sheer, all right. So I guess they were just like, this is not appropriate. So
yeah, so because that would explain the weird corset thingy. But Mon, what do you think about this look?
I it's definitely something that we haven't seen quite yet from her. So in that mm-hmm. respect, I was like, okay, like I dig it. But once again, it's just not, it's not best drag. Like, I would have loved your look to, like if you had to do some shuffle, I would have loved if you were able to do somehow find a way to, to come out with the one fur look that you had with like the crystals that were coming off your body, or the look with the red dress. I would have much rather have seen that versus this, because like I said, it's just not, it's not enough. It's cute and it's fun. And I did cock my head to the side because it's a silhouette that we haven't seen from her, but it's not best drag. But I know that like she had to shuffle things around, and it is what it is.
It's also Gottmik's wig. Oop, how do I zoom
it? Oh, it is.
So, you know, clearly running out of drag, which I get, right? It's a long process. Maybe Candy was thinking, I'm not going to make it that far. Why would I bother having so many looks? Shit's expensive.
It is.
Shit's expensive, but guess what's free? The material that's in the workroom. I'm putting it out there. If you were going on Drag Race and you don't have any semblance of how to put an outfit together, don't go on Drag Race.
This is an excuse. Can you take yarn? Or can you take fabric? Be like, yeah, yes. I'm going to make something out of it. Roll it up, shove it in your bag.
Just like, oh yeah, this is for an outfit for next week.
Yeah.
And just go.
I'm taking it home. I'm going
to
make
this
it.
This to me, I'm sorry. This is inexcusable. This is an inexcusable. This outfit is for a runway that is like, if you were to like category is busted Daphne from Scooby-Doo impersonations. Like, this is what that runway is. I would have hated this for the sheer runway too. Like, to me, like I like that this is a different silhouette from her. I love the big sleeves. I do like the fit of it. And that's mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. I don't like her makeup. I like the wig with it. Ooh. Oh, I hate the makeup. It's so dark, and then it's too bright in these four corners, and it's really distracting. And I don't think it flatters her in the way that she's done in the past as well. I will say there's another thing I love. I do like the pops of yellow that match from the bow, the earring, yes. the bag, and mm-hmm. the shoes. Mm-hmm. That was really great. But to me, like, this doesn't scream Candy Muse to me. So if you're going to come out in your best drag, it needs to be representative of you and your style. I don't see Candy Muse here. Mm-hmm. I see a garment of sorts.
Also, the nails and the earrings also, I think, have the yellow. That was my favorite part.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it would have been hilarious, though, if she had somehow managed to get one of Olivia's tiny bags and use that. But I love the sleeves, actually.
I love
although
the
they
sleeves,
kind yeah. of look like tubes. That I have this like cat for my cats. They have this like
yes!
tube thing that they like run through. It kind of looks a little bit like that.
But that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah. So the kind of like the upper chest piece I like. There's just mm-hmm. there's the disconnect where her boobies are between the corset piece and then maybe like the corset is too long. I don't know. I think there's potential here, and I love the concept and idea. I just think that there needs to be a couple changes in the execution that I think would take mm-hmm. it to the next level. But then that being said, okay, that's the garment in a vacuum. This is best drag, right? And then that's where I see where Beth is coming from, which is, look, this should represent you. If you are friggin' Tina Burner, you're allowed to come out this week in red, yellow, and orange. You know, if you're Candy this week, you're allowed to come out and be a hoe. I mean, she, you know, she's a little hoey here, but like, you know, go full out. Go live your best hoe life. And so that I think is missing here, and I would have liked to have seen that. But
and for somebody too who is so often push the boundaries of what we expect from bigger queens and showing off skin and being confident in your body and those kind of things. Like, this to me doesn't do that. That's what I expect. I wanted her to come out here and like yet another like Beyonce illusion kind of outfit that really shows off her curves, her body positivity, all these wonderful things that she has been so fiercely showing this whole season. And this didn't do that for me. That's what I was upset about the most.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Ms. Rosé. Hair down to her butt crack here. Beth, what about Rosé this week? Did this scream best drag to you?
This did and didn't. It did in the sense of like, okay, to take a step back, I do think this is a lovely garment. I do think it's representative of Rosé. And to say what I did earlier, like, she already had a tartan look that was supposed to be a, like, you know, a bagpipe, essentially. This, to me, was, like, too expected. And that's why I'm kind of like, best drag. I get it. It's a beautiful, beautiful dress. I love the pleating. I love the different styles of it. I hate the gloves with it. I hate the gloves with it. The it's gloves, like, are not necessary.
Yeah.
The gloves are black and it's a navy blue. So I don't get that. But whatever.
Well, and it's a black and it's lace, which I get if you're going for these different patterns. But yeah, it doesn't work. So if you're watching the video version, I've pulled up the... I forgot about the stupid things, the bagpipe things on her arms. They're so ugly. I want to rip them off.
But you know what? I like the bagpipe outfit better for a competition. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, that is, like, a fun play on it. I will say both of those outfits were way better than what Lawrence Cheney put together in that, like, that, like,
Lawrence
reveal.
Lawrence Cheney.
Oh, man. I'm missing Lawrence's name like that on the podcast. But anyway, like, I do think that Rosé pulled off a better tartan look than Lawrence did when Lawrence wore that dress. But I just, I don't know. I'm still underwhelmed. This is also going to what Aman's point earlier was with Gottmik. Like, make something a little bit more dramatic about this. Give me some glitz. Give me something. And not the lace black gloves. Like, give me something else.
I think sometimes when it comes to drag competitions, I'm expecting for you to push the envelope a little bit. And sometimes you don't have to. Like, I don't want people to think that it's like, oh, every freaking week it's got to be something glamour mixed with camp or whatever. Like, it always has to be something, you know, over the top. Like, it doesn't have to. Like, if you want to, if there's a cute ass dress that you want to, that you found, that you want to style to your liking, go for it. I'm not saying that because, and that will get you by in some weeks, and you can look really good doing that kind of stuff as well. But for the last look, it's like, you really need to, like, sell me this. And I love that she's paying homage to her Scottish heritage. That's beautiful. I just think that the garment is like, it looks, first of all, at the top, it's a little bit too boxy, like the little ruffled part. It kind of reminds me of like the dress that Tamisha wore, but with Tamisha's ruffle, it was like a little bit more squish towards the middle. With that, it feels so boxy that I'm like, it makes you look wider than you actually are. And on top, like, the makeup doesn't really hit that well for me. I wasn't even expecting this from Rosé. I thought that she was going to come out and be pink, 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 because that's what she was marketed as in the beginning of this entire competition. And she even said as much as, I love pink. Pink is my favorite color. And that's the color that she wears at when she's with Stephanie's Child. So I really thought that she was going to give us one of those moments. And I was like, I would have eaten that all up. Like, if you were to give me an entire, like, Barbie moment and have like a little Corvette or something that as a clutch or something, I would have been like, yes, give it to me. Give it to me.
No, I want a full Trixie Mattel going in like a little Jeep thing down the runway. And then just at the end of the runway, get out and just like, you know.
Or if you're going to give me, so if you're going to bring me, if you're going to take us back to Scotland, that's fine too. But like,
why not pink tartan then? You know, like mix the two together.
Well.
Just saying. Here's the other thing too. Morgan McMichaels has the best, like, quote unquote Scottish tartan kind of look from All Stars 3 when she came out in that like dress, but it had like the huge, like, sheer part in the middle that had like, so you could see like the side of her breastplate and the really cute wig that was done up in a way that had like the little ruffle showing there. And then the cute strappy shoes, like that to me, like, if you're not going to parallel that, if you're not going to beat that for your best drag look, then maybe don't do it for your best drag look finale look.
To me, I really like the concept. I love the wig. I actually like the makeup here. I do just feel like the gloves are distracting. The clutch is distracting. And the proportions are a little off. The belt also cuts her right in the middle. And I don't think it has the intended slimming effect that she would like, because you have a pattern and now you're breaking up that pattern and it makes her feel very segmented. So there's the top unit and then there's sort of this bottom unit. So for me, I think it's just changing a few things. I really do think it's almost there. So, you know, I'm not upset about it, especially also I'm, you know, looking at Lawrence Chaney's look. This is so much worse. So I'm like, oh, Rosé looks fabulous.
Do you remember when they complimented this look from Lawrence Chaney and they were like, you look beautiful. I'm like, bitch, where? She has no shape awful. That makes sense. She, like, if you're like, pad some boobage, please. I would
she
appreciate
that. She looks 2 feet tall somehow.
She looks so stunted. Yeah. Oh, you know what she so looks bad. Like? I'm sorry, Lawrence Chaney in that picture. For those of you who are not watching the video, I'm telling you, this is an episode. You just need to go watch us on YouTube. This is reminding me of like 14-year-old girl who thinks that she is just killing it with the like, and it's just, there's a lot of elements that just aren't quite there because you're not yet got your sense of real style. Like that jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Is like jewelry, that's like those bead sets that they used to have, like when you were, or like when you could put like little stones in things. Do you remember those like little sets from like the late 2000s mm-hmm. or late 90s and early yes. 2000s? That's what she's wearing. Yes. And it doesn't go with it. I don't know. I'm so mad about it. Well, she looks beautiful. No, she doesn't, RuPaul. You just like her.
And then here is Morgan McMichaels for comparison for everybody out there. Gotta get our references in. I love this asymmetry here. This is actually really gorgeous. Okay.
But that's my point, right? So this is the asymmetry. Rosé is trying to do the asymmetry kind of look here, and it just doesn't fall the same way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Simone. This was the look. I was like, okay, someone read the homework assignment, because this to me, I thought is just, this is unique. I think this is gorgeous. She looks gorgeous. I'm obsessed with these sleeves. I love the fact that she is tinier than the sleeves. There's just something about it I like super resonated with. Maybe it was in comparison to everybody else, but this for me was the best look on the runway this week.
Yeah, no, it definitely, the comparison really helps this out a lot, but it is, I mean, by itself, it's still a very gorgeous look. I love the sleeves too. Very dramatic. I was like, oh my goodness, if they're going to have to do a lip sync, I wonder if she's going to try to give us a Coco Montrese moment, because it'd be perfect for it. Obviously, as always, her skin, she said that she puts body,
baby oil,
some baby oil on there and she just looks luminous. I wasn't the biggest fan of the hair.
I love it.
I don't know if, like, don't get me wrong. I love that she went with the cornrows. I love that. But maybe it's the color. I don't know. Something about it just didn't really, it didn't resonate. Like, it's not ugly. It just didn't resonate the same way that it did with other people. Cause I saw a lot of people were commenting on it and were like, oh my goodness, I love it. I'm like, really, guys? I'm not in love with that. Maybe if it were more of like a, well, you know what I love? Some cornrows towards the middle and then on the side, big poof balls. I would have loved that. Like, give me a little bit of afro, give me a little bit of braid, give me some of that action. And then you can make those white and gold as well. And I would have like, ooh, I would have been like, yes. But that's just the nitpicky thing for me. Other than that, I thought that this was great.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing with the hair that I liked the most is from afar when she was walking up. I thought it was one of those like really like 20s-esque like flapper hairstyles, because I didn't see that that was actually shiny jewelry that's in between cornrows. I thought it was, I don't know what the hairstyle is off the top of my head, but I thought it was like one of those like waves that's like really short down to the hair. And I was like, oh, how gorgeous. And then I saw it was cornrows with this beautiful jewelry in between. And I was like, oh my God, that's even better, because we know that she's been just absolutely amazing about bringing these elements of Black excellence into her drag, right? And doing them in unexpected ways. So I loved that there was like an optical illusion depending on the angle or how far away or how zoomed in the camera was or whatever. To me, she looks like an absolutely amazing, beautiful Oscar Sky Dancer. Like, remember those Sky Dancers from like the 90s where like you'd pull the little thing and they would be like, "Wee!" and they'd fly up in the air. She looks like a Sky Dancer going to the Oscars. And I was like, yes, I love this. This is amazing. I loved this outfit. I just, the only thing I wish is that there had been some hint of jewelry besides the earring, maybe like a slight necklace, or even, I don't know where else it could have gone, I guess, but just something that would have tied everything that's happening on her head to something else, like just have like a little bit of sparkle elsewhere that matches it. But maybe it was on her shoe or something like that.
I think it is. I think it's just hard to tell with the lighting that it's not hitting right, because you can kind of see through the slit that they look to be silver, and I think they look rhinestoned. I don't know. I can't tell. I'm trying to think like what her head. What the outfit would look like with bigger hair, because I feel like doing something that is, you know, whether it, she chose to do the cornrows or some type of like kitty girl wig, something that puts the emphasis on the dress, I actually kind of like. Do I feel like it's unbalanced? Do I feel like it's this garment with a little head stuck on? I don't know. I think though it works because of the silver that's in the hair, because it still is able to draw attention and make it fit with the rest of the sheen in the fabric. So I think it does come together as a cohesive unit and doesn't feel too separated or too unbalanced.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I'm thinking about the look that she did with, it was kind of like, it was one of the, I think it was one of the ball looks where they had to have the purses, and then she had like that really slimming, red futuristic or like hot pink futuristic look. But then she had like these really cool poof ball afro puff thingies, on her head as well. And I was like, ooh, that really just was so striking to me. So I wondered, I mean, obviously not a direct copy of that exact hair look, but like something along those lines to me would have been just a bit more engaging. But it's definitely, it, like I said before, I'm nitpicking here. It's definitely still a really solid choice.
I agree.
I definitely think it's the best out of the four for best drag look.
Yes, I think so as well. Okay, so we get, of course, go into our judging. We get the, what would you say to your younger self? All of that here together. Is there anything, Beth, that you want to say about those moments in the show this week?
I just like that they clarified that they cleared it with Gottmik ahead of time to show a younger version of Gottmik's self. And that we had this really wonderful moment where Gottmik got to like introduce who they are now to, you know, the toddler baby version of who they are. And I thought that that was a really powerful moment. I kind of teared up, I'm not going to lie, when that moment happened. So, well, normally I kind of find these like, well, okay, whatever. But like that one, I was like, okay, I get it. It's cute. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, and Rue bawling. I can't remember, was it there or was it earlier? But Rue just like crying her freaking eyes out.
Yeah. That was another memoir. I was like, oh my God, she won. Holy shit.
Yeah.
No, what I like the most about all of this is just that, just how much, you know, diverse experiences they all have. Cause I mean, yeah, they are all gay men, but you know, not all created equally. So, well, they are all created equally, but their experiences are different. So I loved getting to hear Gottmik as well. I loved that Rosé did make it a point to say that she was very lucky growing up. Her parents accepted her from the jump, but she also realizes that that's not the case for a lot of other people. So it's her job to give that to the people that didn't get it. I loved hearing her say that. The same thing with Candy. Like, I just loved that she has been through and through talking about this narrative of like, yes, it was rough for me. Like, it was rough growing up. There was a lot of shit happened to me, but I'm here. And bitch, like, what are you going to do about it? And then for Simone, whose message definitely resonated the most with me because we've had such similar experiences, I think I got the most emotional about hers because, yeah, like, being able to like finally like say to yourself that you love yourself and that you accept it, and not just say it, but like actually feel that, like that's like one of the most powerful things that you can ever have as a human being. And that's the shit that RuPaul is talking about. It was like, if you cannot have that for yourself, you cannot have that for somebody else. Because if you try to get that for somebody else first, your self-worth is going to get tied up in that. And it's just going to be a cup that never gets filled. So yeah. Her learning that, learning that love for herself was something that really resonated with me. And I just hope that that resonated with other young queer Black men too, so that they can know, like, bitch, look, if you queer and you feminine, that's okay. If you queer and you're masculine, that's okay. If you're queer and you're just trying to be here and learn who you are, it's okay. Just learn to love yourself. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yup.
Yeah, I resonated with Simone's as well. She also said something along the lines of, like, please don't make the same mistakes that I did, which I thought was really interesting because I think she's somebody who is such a perfectionist. I think she holds on to a lot of mistakes that she's made in the past. And that's something that I super, super, super resonate with, that learning to kind of like let go and like, come on, like you're saying, to love yourself and to accept everything about you, even if society may be telling you that that's not right. That's okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a lucky performance because it was such a celebration. And then we went into all of this. I actually did tear up a little bit because normally it's very eye rolly of like, I can just ignore this for a bit. But
I just feel like I've been getting fed this past couple of weeks with like lots of like good queer content because of this. And then like 2 weeks prior was the whole thing with Lil Nas X. And he did something similar where he mm-hmm. wrote a note to himself. So it's just like there's so much like pressure, like good social pressure to just be like, bitch, love yourself. Like, just like you have to be your biggest advocate because the world is like cold enough and dark as it is. So you just have to always remind yourself to just be your biggest advocate and to love yourself and to spread that to everybody else. Because if you start shining, they can start shining. And then we all just start shining here together. And it's just a big, happy world. I know it sounds idealistic, but it's the truth. Like, you just have to feel that for yourself.
100%. Okay, now we're going to talk about the last thing, which was the lip sync. So this was really interesting. And Beth, you pointed it out earlier, the fact that they had to all lip sync, but they did it one at a time.
Yeah.
Why do you think they did that? I mean, you're thinking like, well, maybe because of the elimination or something like that. But I feel like they could have done it anyway, even if all of the queens had performed at the same time.
Yeah, I think that this might have been just to give each queen their own individual moment to shine. And if that was going to change anything, like, I really do think there could have been a situation where RuPaul went, you know what, you're not ready for the finale and cut somebody. But I think that all four of them gave themselves into the performance. A lot of my friends thought that it was a really bad choice for a song. I highly disagreed. This had some peaks and valleys. It had a lot of energy to it, but not like a fierce kind of energy, an energy that you could like show who you were and your tenacity with it. And that's why I liked the song. And that's why I think it made sense to have four individual performances. I'm happy we didn't watch four individual performances of it, which I knew that they wouldn't have done that, but
they had to, which I'm like, wow, that must have been a journey for them.
Could you imagine being the last? Because what, Simone went last? I'd be like, we've heard this song three times. Like, I'm so sorry. I'd just be out there and be so apologetic about my whole performance. Like, I'm so sorry.
And they all went through the entire song because, like, the whole thing was a splice together of, like, pretty much like two verses and like two choruses. So it's like, what's the whole song?
Yeah.
Which means that all of them had to do the whole song. So that was a lot, but I'm glad that they did it that way too, because it does give each of them a moment to just really be themselves and just take that moment for themselves and have this whole episode was very individualized for all of them about their own personal journey. So I think that this was really the only way to go. Yeah. You still could have, like whether or not it was written in stone that they were going to be going to the finale as a four anyway, or if it wasn't, you could have still had them do it all together. But I think, like, you know, when you have like four girls up there moving around, especially in these garments, like, you kind of just want them to all have a moment to just be free and not have to worry about like, oh, let me walk this way because you're walking that way. And like, because that happens sometimes with those lip syncs and it just gets real messy. So it's just like, I'm glad they did it this way.
Yeah, four is really clogs up the stage. So, yeah. Okay. That's it. That's our episode. So next week we are going to have the reunited reunion show. And then the week after that, the live grand finale we'll see exactly what it looks like. Hopefully we'll get some more information. If we don't see any like promo shots from it, that does make me feel like it will be live or live to tape, which, you know, we haven't seen anything yet. So I'm going to assume that that's the case until I am proven wrong. I'm excited. I'm excited for the season to wrap up, but just because I'm excited for the stories to complete, I want to know the ending. I need to know what this looks like.
So are we all in agreement that we think Gottmik won now versus Simone?
Well, I mean, the one thing that, I mean, Liana brought up the lip syncing, that does give me pause. But then again, Simone isn't like...
We know what we're going to get with a Simone lip sync.
Right, so it's like...
But do we, though? She goes home to the House of Avalon, and they, best brainstormer artists out there, are like, this year, we're taking the crown. This year, we're going to do it. We're putting all our resources into this. Because she said something, Simone said something earlier in the season, and I remember thinking, like, oh, this is super interesting. A lot of money and effort was put into me on this season, which makes me feel like this was a collective house effort to get her here. And I can imagine.
That's why that's so much pressure on her. Oh my goodness.
I think, I'm not sure. But
that's a really good catch.
No, not saying that Gottmik won't also have a team, her own family to help go through all these things and put something together. I think whatever the gags are going to be, I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually super excited. I think that they both really want to win, are going to come prepared. So I'm excited, but I don't know. I think to me, it's between Gottmik and Simone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless, like Rosé would have to freaking blow minds to change RuPaul's opinion about wanting to put the crown on her head.
She could. Because she's a performer. She knows what she's... Okay, well, now my brain is starting to flip again. Like, I don't know
what's... It's not that uniqueness, though. That's what I think, is that even if Rosé... I mean, it's just not going to be that Evie Oddly mirror. You know what I mean? Like, Rosé, it's just not there.
Or even the Brooklyn Heights, like, pull the chains and she's on ballet stuff, like, reveal. Like, I mean, we have seen the final four lip sync go every way that you could possibly imagine. We've seen the front runner lose in the first lip sync and Sasha Velour win. We have seen one person not make it to the final lip sync because she stomped on butterflies, and everybody else go to the final lip sync. We have seen the two obvious people go to the final lip sync. And then we've seen some stuff on Zoom. And I really think that this is going to be something that I don't think any of us can really plan and know, like, what's going to happen. If this was if there isn't a lip sync component to it, I'm interested. I'm intrigued. But I don't think that you run out a stage and not have a lip sync.
I don't know. I think based on the narrative, if this were an edited show, Gottmik won. Right. That's what I'm getting, because I used to think it was growth arc. But the way that Rue and Michelle responded to Gottmik, like the fact that Rue's like, this kid has charmed me to no end. Come on. Right. You know, there's things like that just make it seem it's so obvious. But I mean,
it's probably
Sasha Velour, y'all.
I think it's probably going to be a lip sync and not go back to the things that we've seen before, because of the fact that like it is. But whether or not it's live, it's definitely being shot between now and two Fridays away, which means to me, like, it's not going to be a scripted like type of show. It's going to be a lip sync, because they're not going to have everybody quarantining for a number of weeks and making sure that they're not going to be testing positive and doing all of that and still have time to rehearse whatever it is they want to rehearse. So it's going to be, if anything, maybe they will pull out more stops with these lips. I don't know. Oh, I'm getting really excited. I don't want to hype myself up and then be disappointed.
We also don't know what the reunion looks like. If all of them are together for a reunion.
Oh, versus Zoom. Why do I feel like Zoom? I'm not sure.
If they're all together for a reunion, then we know that they definitely quarantined people and brought people all together. And they could be doing other stuff. I be honest? I kind of wish that there's a little bit more of a format of what they did for like season 8, which is where each person had like their own lip sync that they did rather than a battle. And there was still some time to talk with all of the other queens that were on the season.
Yeah.
I don't want a lot of time. Or at the very least, I want a season 9 finale and I just want them all to just go at each other, because that was the best thing ever. That season was like, you're amazing. No, you're amazing. You're amazing. The reunion hit and it was like, oh, girl, this is not what I was expecting. Like, I want something like that for the season.
Right? You don't love me.
So I did check social media. Granted, this was yesterday, but I feel like it gives us an idea of where people are feeling. So on both Instagram and Twitter, the trends were the same. Candy had the least number of likes, interactions, then Rosé, although Rosé on Twitter was pretty close to Gottmik, who came in second, but there was a much larger gap on Instagram. Simone, both platforms had the highest amount of interaction. I think the fans maybe are still on board with Simone being our eventual winner. So that's why I do feel that while Rue, not that Rue really takes into account the fans, but if there's some type of energy in the room and Simone does something, you know, maybe that pushes her over the edge. Mm-hmm. I think it's a two-way race between Gottmik and Simone. Like if I really had to think about it, that's what I would be saying. Of course, you never know, yada, 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 blah. But Simone and Gottmik, for me, I think one of them will win the season.
And I do think one of my favorite things that was said last week was from Monet and Bob on their podcast. Mm-hmm. And they were like, if Simone or Gottmik, or no, if Rosé wins this season, Black Lives don't matter.
Yeah, I heard you say that too.
She's so wild. I was like, Bob. I just love Bob so much. Bob is like legitimately one of my top three favorite queens of all time. But I definitely feel like the narrative for this season, the world that we're in right now and what we've been presented with, like, I honestly will be very mad if Gottmik or Simone don't win. And it's not because of like their identities. It's because of like how they've been able to represent their marginalized identities on stage and how they've been able to make that a part of the narrative without being like, I'm only here because of this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, to not honor that excellence throughout the entire drag competition, I think is honestly kind of like a slap in the face to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's briefly touch on Untucked, although it was a little bit of a love fest, apart from the maybe Elliot with two T's is going to come back and eliminate one of us, which made me literally laugh aloud.
I didn't even watch it because I just assumed that it was like a bunch of congratulatory.
It's like leftover family messages, which I did for a second when, like, thankfully no one had gotten eliminated. I watched the actual episode, but it was like, oh my God, Rosé is going to go. And she got her family message just out of pure, you know, trauma from the past couple
also
weeks.
Her brother looks exactly like her
and says baby.
It was so funny. I did think we've seen a lot of emotion come out of Simone the past couple of episodes, and a lot of that pressure, and we've talked about it a little bit, and I won't lie, hearing Simone say I miss my mom so much, and then all of a sudden I hear hey baby, it is her mom behind her, I was like, oh my God, it's her mom right there. I mean, I was a mess.
Yeah, same.
I was a mess on Friday.
Okay. That does it for us here. So one thing we need to talk about, we may or may not be back next week, depending how much meat on the bone for the reunion. So if you do not see a podcast in your feed next week, do not worry. We are all safe and sound. We will just be back in 2 weeks to cover both the reunion and the finale. There's always a lot of filler in the finale. So I think that putting those two together probably makes the most sense. Unless the reunion is pants on fire, we will be there. But otherwise, we'll just wrap them together.
Yeah. Unless we get something popping off with Candy, Tamisha, Ellie with two T's.
Yeah. Especially if it's Zoom. If there's a Zoom reunion, no.
That's we'll probably not going to happen yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Like, the shutting the computer on Zoom is just not nearly as dramatic as Raja storming out of the set. You know what I mean? It's not the same, okay?
It's not the same as the Vixen being like, no! Like, yes. She'd just been like, I'm leaving!
Click. Yes, exactly. So it's like when you hang up the phone. Flipping the flip phone, slamming the receiver down, so much better than just boop. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining us along this journey. Let's get out of here. Aman, where can people find you on social media, and what are you up to?
You can follow me on Twitter at Aman Adwin, also on Twitch at the same name, where I read lots of Harry Potter. Yes, I just recorded with Bryce on the Purple Pants podcast, so that should be coming out later this week as well. And all the BB Can coverage as well. So
and
that's what I'm doing. Oh, and the choir room with Matt Liguori.
Of course. And Beth, what about you? Where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
You can find me on social media at AugustaWind11, as well as my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/AugustaWind11, where I'm mostly podcasting with my weekly meltdown about the challenge again. BB Can, and just doing some gaming, that kind of thing. And you can also catch me on my newer podcast, Hot Mess Moments, with Beth and Dylan, where we're discussing The Nanny and Lost. We just watched and recorded season one, but episode 3 of both of those shows. So excited. And what a great timing to talk about The Nanny after it got released on April 1st on HBO Max. So I'm just so excited about it.
And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. I'm talking about The Masked Singer with Puya. We just talked about episode 5, which has been really fun so far, although, you know, I'm starting to get a little dragged out with Nick Cannon being there, spoiler alert. Okay, but apart from that, you can also find me on Twitch, Lianaism. And that does it for us. If you are thinking about supporting RHAP, consider becoming a patron. You know where to find it, patreon.com/RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/Patreon. Leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes, robhasawebsite.com/Drag Race. Thank you to Scott for everything behind the scenes, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.